We're going to continue in that chapter. I'd like to finish up chapter 5 tonight. Felt like it was appropriate to go with tonight's theme of giving and investing. 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. The Bible says here in 2 Kings, now you'll remember the context here, again, Elisha, as we read this morning, he's there with the sons of the prophets there in Gilgal. There is famine in the land. There's a dearth in the land, great poverty, great hunger. And then upon God miraculously healing, if you will, or purifying the pottage there before the sons of the prophets, as following that, there is a miraculous provision from God from elsewhere. And that's kind of a part B to this passage that we'll read here this evening together. Verse number 42. And the Bible says, "And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people, that they may eat. And his servitor said, What? Should I set this before 100 men? He said, Give the people, that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, They shall eat, and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord." Tonight, I would like to get our attention here to this passage and talk about a gift that God truly blesses for the work of the ministry. A gift that God blesses. In 2 Kings here, chapter 4, let's ask the Lord to lead us. Father, we commit the message to you tonight. Help us to be tender and attentive and open to your working. I thank you again for the testimonies we've heard, the ministries. And Lord, that doesn't truly represent everyone here. That will be in different callings, Lord, serving you in different capacities, Lord, that they too would have your power, and that they too would be encouraged about the doors you're opening up for them. And so, Lord, again, we commit this message to you tonight. Pray you'd use it in our church and use it for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I do believe that we could also title this message, "The Greatest Investment a Christian Can Make is an Investment in God's Work." I do believe that the greatest investment that the Christian, the child of God, can make in life, financially speaking, and we can speak of other realms as well, but the best investment is the investment in God's work. Do you believe that, church? I hope you do. It's truth. It's the Bible. And it's God's way. You know, there are all kinds of things out there today talking about where to invest and your greatest opportunities for investing and making money, whether it be the stock market or retirement and different things of that nature, or just your livelihood. There's always these talks of investments, and I'm not downplaying that. I'm not being critical of that very fact. But, you know, I read, in fact, a recent article came out that I came across, and it was Business News, I believe, was the name of the article. And they gave the top five companies that were basically giving the greatest dividends, the stocks that were really doing the best. And a couple of those was Texas Instruments. Never heard of it in my life, unless that's the calculator. Is that the calculator? Yeah, okay. So the Texas Instruments, but the one I have not heard of is Taiwan Semiconductor. I'm not sure if you've heard of that one. Anybody heard of that company? Okay, all right. Brother Mike, all right, you get the prize. And then, of course, there's Intel. One that kind of surprised me was Best Buy. There were S&P 500. Some of these were yielding, this is stock market terms, were yielding 1.9%, some 2.9%. with 131% on a 5-year return. In other words, these were some popular companies that you can invest in to look for a positive dividend, a high dividend. But I want to tell you, perhaps those are some business-like investments that you could make that would be wise choices. But I want to tell you, to the child of God, there is no greater investment that gives greater dividends than investing in the work of God. When we give to missionaries, when we give to servants of the Lord, when we give to the work of the church, anything this church does, anything we do to invest in the work of God, the dividends just totally outnumber anything we can think of in the secular world. It's eternal dividends. It's what God is, we're going to see in all eternity, that we're going to be able to spend eternity praising the Lord for and rejoicing around. I tell you, it is a blessing to invest in the things of God. We see here an example of that. Who was this man in verse 42? You don't really expect an offering like this coming from somebody from a town called Baal Shalisha. You Baal, you think of Baal worship. Well, you got to remember that this name, before Baal came in, before Baal worship kind of took over and the Israelites turned to that in great numbers, it was just Shalisha. That was the name of the town. But it got changed. But I'm glad to be reminded that, listen, we don't have to let our environments change us. You think about that, Christian. A lot of times, we as Christians and people in this world, they're quick to blame their environments for the conduct in their lives. Here's a man that was from a town that had been changed to, most definitely, it was predominant Baal worship taking place, surrounded by those Baal worshipers and those Baal priests, but yet he did not let it stop him from doing what he believed God would have him do. He was one of those 7,000 that refused to bow the knee to Baal, and he was one that I'm sure that was remaining faithful to honor the Lord God. So what does he do? What exactly does he do? It says here that he came and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. That's our first point this morning. Simply a generous gift from a man from the town of Baal Shalisha. That's verse 42. We see that he brought this gift to the man of God. You see, it was common for them to bring gifts to the priest. Elisha was not a priest, okay? He was a prophet, but in his town, I want to tell you, that was not an option. In his town, since the Baal worship had taken place, he was not going forth to the priest that would have been in that area. Perhaps he didn't have that option like he would have back in the day, if you will, when it was prominent, the Jehovah worship was prominent, but not now. It was not prominent. In fact, he made his way to the place where the man of God was, and he gave. Maybe it wasn't to the letter of the law, because there was specific instructions given about what should be given to the priest. But this man was not necessarily adhering to the letter of the law. He was adhering to the spirit of the law. He wanted to give to God's work. And, you know, so I'm glad he didn't make an excuse. Well, there's nothing to give in my town anymore, so I'll just have to keep it to myself. No, he sought out God's man, Elisha. And what does he bring here? The Bible says he brings bread of the first fruits. This is basically telling us that he didn't bring leftovers. He really loved what Elisha was doing. He wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to invest it. And he's coming truly show that by this generous gift. And you say generous, it doesn't really look generous. Well, you got to remember, they're in a famine. There's a dearth in the land. And to bring this and present this to the man of God is truly commendable. But then secondly, we see a gracious gift, a generous gift. But secondly, I want us to see a gracious response. A gracious response from Elisha in verse 42. What does he do? Elisha, receives this gift. But what the first thing he says, and here is truly the motive of his heart. Look what he says. Given to the people that they may eat. That's the first thing he wanted to do with this gift. He wanted to give it to the people in need. May God give us a heart that when we do get blessed, when God does bless us with resources, whether it be finances, whatnot, may God help us to have a heart that says, how can I get this to somebody that can use it? How can I use this for the glory of God, for a servant of God, or for the work of God? How can I do that? But a lot of times, if we're not careful, church, we need to be reminded of this. A lot of times we'll wait that to do that at the end. Well, we got this taken care of. And listen, I'm not suggesting here that you be irresponsible in your finances. You know that. Okay? But we're talking about the heart. God brings a gift into your life. One of the first thing that comes to your mind and my mind should be, God, thank you, number one. But secondly, Lord, who can I be a blessing to with this? And it's the heart that the Lord is looking at. He says, give unto the people. Why? That they may eat. He saw some people in need. And by the way, can I just say this? Everything that God blesses you with, He has every intention for you to use that to help someone else for the glory of God. Everything He gives you and me, He wants us in some way to take that and use it to be a blessing, to invest in the work of God, the people of God. And so that the Lord might be glorified. So we see a gracious response in verse 42. But thirdly, we see here a grim outlook from Elisha's servant, Gehazi. We see a grim outlook. Why was it a grim outlook? I don't really know all those details. And I'm not going to try to say dogmatically I know what the motives were. But I will make some guesses. All right? I will make some guesses here. Number one, why did his servant have the response he did? If you don't remember the response, it's right there in verse number 43. His servant said, Elisha's servant, what? Set these 20 loaves and the full ears of corn? He says, what? Should I set this before 100 men? You know, this... Really, the first response we see from the servant is that he objected. He said, no, I don't see how this is possible, Elisha. How are they going to eat, these 100 people, how are they going to eat these 20 loaves and this corn? I mean, it's not enough. I mean, that's what when I'm reading there, I see an objection. Perhaps it was just because he didn't understand what God was doing, but he objected. And by the way, another reason I'm suspicious, again, I am suspicious that he was objecting because of a lack of heart is because of what happens in the next chapter, chapter 5. And we'll read about that when we preach, but you remember, he got greedy. Remember, he went after Naaman. Remember, I don't want to get into that right now. But perhaps that's where his heart was being directed. It was perhaps a greediness there. I don't know all the details. But nevertheless, we see that he objected to this offering being given to the 100 sons of the prophets. Why did he object? Well, it could be that he lacked compassion. I don't know that. It could be that he lacked in compassion and seeing the need there. But it also could be that he lacked in vision. That can harm us in our giving. You show me somebody that is a cheerful, just generous giver, just has the heart to give. I want to tell you something right now. I will show you somebody that is compassionate. They just have a strong care for the things of God and the people of God, and they just want to help. And I'll talk about here in just a moment, that doesn't necessarily mean in the amount you give, okay? But the fact of the matter is, it looks like that he lacked compassion. But I'll say another thing that he lacked. He lacked vision. And that's another reason that will hinder giving in our lives. when we remove the factor of God's miraculous power in taking and blessing those gifts that we want to give. You know, I think about these servants going out to summer camp. We shouldn't just think of an offering going to six people. Why don't we think about an offering going to 6,000 people? Perhaps when we combined all of these campers, all these servants together this summer and the camps that they'll be serving at, maybe there'll be 6,000 kids that'll be touched and impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Children that'll be saved from the devil's grip and will go back and mom, dad's will get saved and families will get saved and getting part of churches and missionaries called and Christian workers called and faithful laymen called and God doing a work. That's vision. But sometimes we're so short-sighted. Offering for this instead of letting God just open our eyes. And by the way, I have another reason to be suspicious about Gehazi's vision. Remember when they were surrounded by the enemy? Remember he could not see the angels. He could not see the protection that God was wanting to give. There was a lack of vision there. There was a need to be helped there. And so we see that there is possibly a lack of vision. He objected. He didn't consider the miracle. And this is something that, Lord, I said, Lord, please help me. Do not let me lose my vision for the miraculous work of God. I think about what this servant had seen just previously. I mean, he was traveling with Elisha. He was walking with him. He was seeing the work of God. Did it not occur to him that, oh boy, God's getting ready to do it again? Another miracle is about to take place. I don't know why it didn't occur to his heart that way. Well, what about us? Are we sitting at the edge of our seat? Are we looking expectantly, God, waiting on God just to do the next miracle? Vision. I tell you, if your vision is great, your giving will be great. I didn't hear too many amens right there. I'm not sure if that was right or wrong, but we see that there was a lack of vision. Perhaps. But I will say this. I will say this because the Word of God says it. He obeyed anyway. Word of God says right there, after he's going to object a couple times, not once but twice, it does go on to say that he did indeed set it before them. And by the way, that is a lesson learned. Listen, I know sometimes you may not have the vision and the compassion, but I tell you what, it is always right. It is always right to give to God's work. It is always correct to invest, whether you feel it or not, whether you see it or not. Hey, I'm telling you, if God is working, God is opening doors. And I'm not talking about, again, being foolish in our giving. I'm not talking about being ignorant in our giving. But I am talking about asking God to help us in our compassion and our vision, knowing that the giving is what God is asking us to do. So we see here that he did obey. He didn't see it, but he gave anyway. He obeyed Elisha. And then through that, we see what he is giving. Remember, the 20 loaves, not much, which is basically a foreshadow of what was to come with Christ. And I don't have time to get into that tonight, but Elisha, I believe, is a type of Christ. Their miracles are very similar. If you study the two and what they were allowed to do, and we know the feeding of the 5,000 is very similar to here, but Christ has the preeminence in that. And I don't want to get into all that, but maybe some other time. But we see here that from this giving, we see a glorious miracle from God in verse 44. It says that he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof. Now that is simply indicating that there was leftovers according to the word of the Lord. Do you see what happened here? There was a multiplication. God just blessed it. And I believe he'll do that every single time. Every time you give. Every time I give. He's going to multiply it. Hey, listen up, young people. Teens and below. I don't care if you might be 3 years old under the sound of my voice right now. Listen, let me tell you something. Have a heart to give now. Have a heart to give. You know, God can take your nickel and make $5,000 out of it just like that. You mean, Pastor, I'll have ice cream money for life? No. God will bless that nickel and God will take it, because He's the greatest investor. He knows exactly what to do with it. He will take it and multiply it in such a way that it will impact thousands. God is able to do that. You say, well, Pastor, a dime is not much. A quarter is not much. A dollar is not much. I want to tell you, that's not true when you're giving to God. It is a lot if that's what you have. And that is your heart to be a blessing to the work of God. Parents, I hope you encourage your young people to give. I'm thankful for the young people that I see giving in this church. It encourages my heart. And I know they don't give it for show. Hope nobody gives for show here. But I'm thankful for the young people that have a burden to number one, tithe out of obedience, but then to give to Faith Promise and other offerings. What a blessing that is. And I know the Lord is pleased with that. And God will gloriously multiply that which we give to Him. That's what we have. And there was leftovers. There was plenty. All of the 100 were fed. And boy, I'm sure their tummies were full. And I'm sure they just rejoiced in the miracle of God. And that is a picture of what happens when we do that. And I believe with all my heart that we're going to, in glory someday, we're going to see kids from the wilds of summer of 2019, kids from the Anchorage, kids from Windshape, kids from various ministries that we're going to see, and we're going to be able to rejoice with them. And you know why we get to rejoice? It's because we invested. We invested in something that matters for eternity. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to give tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity for us to give every week. And I would tell you this, I would be the greatest hypocrite in the world to stand before you and to preach a message like this if I'm not giving myself. I think a pastor ought to be fired on the spot who does not tithe and give to Faith Promise. I believe in giving, church, and I believe you too. This is one of the givingest churches I've ever been in. Let's not lose it. Let's not lose our compassion. Let's not lose our vision. Let's give for the glory of God and for the work of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we lift you up. Thank you for letting us play a small part in your work. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to give even tonight. Oh God, just really encourage me tonight. Encouraged me to hear the testimonies. And Lord, I know you are pleased when we're not stingy and greedy. Lord, I pray that we would truly grow in our generosity. Would you help us in that, Lord? Would you help our church to give more in the days ahead? Give more to missions. Give more to our young people who are wanting to serve in various capacities, encouraging them, supporting them. Just giving, Lord. Help us to grow in our giving. For we know it pays eternal dividends. So, Lord, I commit this to you and this message and, Lord, all these testimonies and the other things that we have talked about, we could commit them all to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray these things. Amen.